And let's sing it. Officials in Washington, D.C. say they've arrested a 29-year-old Moroccan man, Amin El Khalafi, who was planning to carry out a terror attack on the U.S. Capitol. CBS News senior correspondent John Miller is learning more about the alleged plot.
After developing intelligence on the suspect, the FBI launched an undercover sting operation. As the suspect continued contact with the undercover agent, sources say his plans became more ambitious.
A source tells CBS News Khalafi planned to shoot any police officers who would try to stop him from detonating a bomb in his suicide vest. It was as if Congress were trying to set a land speed record for passing legislation. Not long after the House approved a bill to extend a payroll tax break for millions of American workers.
The yeas are 293, the nays are 132, the conference report is adopted.
The Senate rushed to do the same. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss, he's found an interesting provision in the legislation.
One smaller part of this bill may speed up your iPhone. Some of the frequencies no longer used by TV stations will be bought back and auctioned off to wireless companies, bringing in a lot of money to the government and opening the way to faster smartphones, tablets, and other wireless devices. It also sets aside almost $3 billion for a new emergency radio system for first responders like police and firefighters.
President Obama is expected to sign the measure into law when he gets back from a West Coast trip. U.S., Afghan, and Taliban officials are talking about the future of Afghanistan once American troops leave. CBS News reporter Terry Schultz in Kabul says American General John Allen thinks the U.S. is negotiating from a position of strength now.
General Allen says that the Taliban are heading toward extinction. That's a direct quote from him. And he says that on the battlefield, they are definitely losing. And he says as that happens, he sees more and more Taliban coming to the conclusion that their future is not going to be decided on the battlefield.
CBS News correspondent Pam Coulter has the latest in the effort to treat autism.
Researchers imaged the brains of 92 children at 6, 12, and 24 months and found the neurocircuitry that allows parts of the brain to talk with each other is not developing normally in the babies who go on to develop autism.
These abnormalities in brain development showed up at 6 months of age. This is even before the onset of the behavioral symptoms of autism.
Study co-author Dr. Jerry Dawson says they hope to be able to diagnose babies very early and provide early intervention to produce the best possible outcomes. Pam Coulter, CBS News.
There was a shooting at a federal building in Long Beach, California yesterday stemmed from a disciplinary matter. Authorities say the gunman shot a high-ranking immigration and customs enforcement official who is now hospitalized in stable condition. A third agent killed the gunman. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up about 48 points. The S&P 500 is up about 3. The NASDAQ is down about 9. This is CBS News.
E-discovery laws and government regulations require that certain businesses save electronic communication, namely emails, or face potential fines. Barracuda Networks, the world leader in content security, application delivery, and data protection, with more than 130,000 customers worldwide, can help. The Barracuda Message Archiver indexes and preserves all email communication while enforcing policies for regulatory compliance. Save email. Avoid penalties. Visit Barracuda.com/archiver to try the Barracuda Message Archiver free for 30 days. That's Barracuda.com/archiver.
Beat the winter blues with great savings at Rite Aid. Now through March 3rd, you can earn a $20 plus-up reward when you spend $100 or more on select products with your Wellness Plus card. Just look for the buy and save symbol on participating products throughout the store and circular. Save more this winter at Rite Aid with winter rewards. Another way Wellness Plus saves you more. In-store purchase with Wellness Plus card only. Plus-up will be printed on receipt in most markets for use on your next purchase once qualifying threshold is met. Plus-up expires March 17th, 2012.
WWO reporter Dave Cohen tells us about pre-Mardi Gras action in New Orleans.
At schools all around the region, they're having mini Mardi Gras parades like this one. Parents pulling kindergartners and floats made from wagons, along with the dance team and the Cub Scouts, throwing beads to all of the kids lined up along the walkways and the hallways. Many of the students are wearing costumes as they throw their beads, candy, and other trinkets. The scene will repeat itself on a much larger scale in dozens more parades between now and Fat Tuesday. Dave Cohen for CBS News, New Orleans.
Another strange story from the annals of crime. Police in Exton, Pennsylvania arrested 6 foot, 4 inch, 300-pound Verdon Taylor after they say he took off all his clothes in the parking lot, walked naked into a Walmart, and tried to steal a pair of socks. They say they had to use a stun gun to subdue him. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
What if you served and sacrificed for your country, but couldn't get the specialized care, military benefits, and career opportunities you needed? Chris Sullivan was shot and paralyzed in Iraq, and now needs our help to get back into life. Paralyzed Veterans of America is on a mission. Mission ABLE, to help our seriously wounded veterans get the care, benefits, and jobs they've earned. Join the mission now for America's paralyzed veterans at mission-able.com.
Need to spruce up your bathroom? Take advantage of limited time values on special bath buys at Lowe's. Like a new Project Source Chrome bath faucet, now only $19. Or check out a Style Selections 24-inch Auburn vanity and matching mirror for only $199. And if you want to save money and water, pick up a Penguin dual flush toilet with overflow protection for just $148. That's a savings of $50. But hurry, supplies won't last long. Lowe's, never stop improving. Offers valid through 2/2012 while supplies last.
What's there to say? It's Friday. It's Friday.
And now, here's Bill Benica.
Hey, Billy. Let me give you phone numbers. Get a pen, get a pencil, get a piece of paper, get something there so I can get you what's going on here. Because Karen Vealy's going to be in. You might want to comment on some of the things that Karen Vealy's going to talk about. CalcoastNews.com. We can review. So here they are. 786-2578 is our local number. That's 786-2578. Our toll-free number is 1-866-937-1340, as in KYNS. 1-866-937-1340. Amanda Knox, have you heard this? Amanda Knox, who was, you know, she was in Italian prison there. She was in Italian jail for 4 years, and then she was found innocent. She just signed a book deal for $4 million. That's $1 million a year for the time she spent in jail in Italy. Beats banging out license plates.
This is Talk is Cheap. With Bill Benica. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Charter Internet is keen on giving you more. Not a little more, a big more, as in more speed. Which means more streaming hoops, more celebrity scoops, more posts, more boasts, more webcam, more Cousin Pam. By delivering more speed, we make the web more fun. Moreover, it doesn't cost more. To learn more or sign up today, visit charter.com/freefast. Increase for Express and Plus customers only. Service not available in all areas. Other restrictions may apply. Your favorite word is not rutabaga, shimmy, or Xanadu. No, your favorite word is free, because it makes other words better, like guilt-free, termite-free, and faster internet speeds for free. That's what Charter customers just got, allowing them to feel footloose and fancy-free as they download more freely. Don't have Charter internet? Feel free to sign up at charter.com/freefast. Increase for Express and Plus customers only. Service not available in all areas. Other restrictions may apply.
Go, Mo. Mo barbecue, please.
Mo ribs, Mo chicken, Mo pork, Mo beef, Mo burgers, Mo onion rings, Mo potato chips, Mo beans, Mo fried green tomatoes.
Mo barbecue, please.
Mo slaw, Mo tater salad, Mo house salad, Mo Cobb salad, Mo Caesar salad, and Mo's Calypso salad. Mo sodas, Mo brewskis, Mo lemonade, Mo iced tea.
Mo barbecue, please.
At Osos in Monterey and San Luis Obispo and Pismo, it's the bomb. Pomeroy's most spodacious beach barbecue, babies.
Mo barbecue, please.
Mo barbecue, babies. Thank you. All right, this is February 17th, as you know, and our flashback in history, according to the Tribune. On February 17th in 1972, President Richard M. Nixon departed the White House on a historic trip to China, which he called a journey for peace. On this date, in 1801, the House of Representatives broke an electoral tie, electing Thomas Jefferson president, and Aaron Burr became the vice president, and everything went weird from there. Okay, and then that's all we had for today. You want to do our thought for the day? They have a thought for the day. Here's our thought for the day.
I don't really know how to do this, but we're going to do it. Helen Hunt Jackson, American author, said, "A wounded vanity knows when it is mortally hurt and limps off the field, piteous, all disguises thrown away. But pride carries its banner to the last, and last and fast as it is driven from one field, unfurls it in another." Here's our birthdays today. Actor Hal Holbrook is 87. Football Hall of Famer Jim Brown is 76. Actress Renee Russo is 58. Where's how it happened to Renee? I haven't seen Renee Russo in a long time. She's 58. Actor Lou Diamond Phillips, he was just cooking here a little recently. He's 50. Basketball Hall of Famer Michael Jordan is 49. And TV personality Paris Hilton is 31. Let's say happy birthday to them and happy birthday to you if it's yours today.
Happy birthday to you.
Your business will work better when you work with Coastal Computers. Coastal Computers is here for small business. It doesn't matter whether price is your first concern or your last. Service is Coastal Computers' first concern, and that includes your successful, user-friendly, and painless operation. Really, computer networking where the tail doesn't wag the dog. Coastal Computers is known for making the tough stuff easy. They've been doing it for over 25 years with lots of happy clients, and they're worth a call. 543-9047, 543-9047. Coastal Computers, Microsoft, Intel, and networking specialists. Call 543-9047 or visit ccslo.com. People in the business of letting you get on with your business. Call 543-9047 for Coastal Computers.
We're ready. We think we're ready now. We're almost sure we're ready. This is CalCoastNews.com Week in Review with Karen Veeley and Bill Beneke, and I thank Karen for coming in today. Hi, Karen. I see you.
Hi, Bill.
All right. I decided today, I usually say to Karen, I say, okay, you pick. Where do you want to start? But I decided I'm going to start today because there's something going on that's completely bizarre to me, and I don't get it. Here we had, of course, Bob Cuddy wrote this stinging article about CalCoastNews.com and leveling accusations against Chief Lisa Solomon of the Paso Robles Police Department. And so he said, you don't be doing this in the paper. You don't do this. You don't do that. You don't do this. Okay. So then the paper released a story about a teacher, an advisor, I guess he's on the board of directors, Don Norton, out of Cuesta. And so he's the chair out there of human development. So Now, for the second time in 2 days, here's a letter. This one's by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 people. And this is what it says. We write in response to the recent Tribune article covering the complaint filed against Cuesta College, and it includes allegations regarding the chair of Cuesta College's Human Development Department, Don Norton. We would like your readers to know that faculty and staff within this division fully and unequivocally support and endorse Don Norton. Many of us have worked with Mr. Norton for more than 15 years. We've come to know him as a man of integrity, et cetera, et cetera. We're also troubled by the Tribune's casual and uncritical reporting on the complaint, which has not been evaluated by any court and which contains nothing more than untested allegations against the college and Mr. Norton. As a Tribune simply talked to the signatories of this letter, that we would have been able to form your readers of our years of knowledge regarding Mr. Norton's character. You know, Lisa Solomon, so let's go back to Chief Lisa Solomon.
Yeah.
By the time this whole thing's vetted with Chief Lisa Solomon, she could come out and be the most lily-white person in the entire United States. We don't know. We know that people have come forward and said, here's what is I'm filing this complaint. And it's up to the media most of the time to come up with these, to reveal what's going on in order for the complaint to be filed half the time. So then the Tribune does exactly what Bob Cuddy criticized the Cal Coast News for doing, and they're doing exactly the same thing. But here's the point. Let's stop a second. That is how it works. You know, we didn't know nothing about, from the time that the high-speed chase of O.J. Simpson, we did not know anything for a year until all of a sudden the jury came walking back out and said, not guilty. I mean, we partook of everything in the middle of all that. That is the way it works. The system, the news system is, we inform people of the things that people have been accused of, and then after that it gets vetted out, it goes to the jury, it goes to whatever it may be, investigation, and that's what news is, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And this new idea that you can't write anything till they're found guilty doesn't even make sense. Half the news articles in the country, 99% of news articles wouldn't be out there anymore.
Right.
Let's just cut them all.
Yeah, right.
You know, what did they, I think one of the lead stories yesterday was a Grover Beach man in his airplane. Oh, wait, he hasn't been found guilty yet. Let's don't tell anybody because, you know, the odd chance that this man is found to be innocent.
That's like saying Assad. We can't really talk about the bombing in Syria because Assad maybe isn't the one that said, you know, fire the weapons. You know, I mean, this is illogical. And, you know, the people that support somebody and care about somebody and all that and believe that the person's a great guy and a gal or whatever it may be, I respect that. I think journalists have to respect that people have friends. It's not like, you know, we don't assume that. It's not like all of a sudden you're charged with something and everybody backs off and goes, oh, my God, what a pariah. You know, lots of times people have lots of support for people who have done things wrong.
I do find it odd, though, when people come forward and say, I know this person, that couldn't have happened. Time and time again, if everybody was able to tell who was doing things, we wouldn't have serial killers. We wouldn't have anything.
No.
You know, their neighbors would go, oh, he's a serial killer. I'll call the police.
Right.
But I almost think right now some of this coming out in support, especially if things are found to be incorrect. For example, those that came out in favor of Lisa Solomon during the meeting, the council meeting. Several of those people own businesses in the area, and most of them are making money off of Lisa Solomon, you know, or the police department. But I think in the long run, if she is found to have done what she is accused of doing, there are people that are going to be angry at them. And I think it could actually negatively affect their businesses, not positively.
It's just, you know, I remember I've said this. If you ever know somebody who's a cop and you know them pretty well, you know, cops, unless you're another cop, cops always have a look about them that says, you know, I like you, but at any time you could screw up. So, you know, I'm only going to like you so much. I it's in their eyes. It's in their demeanor. You can just see it.
I don't know if I don't know if I see this. I'll have to tell you, my father was a police officer while he went to law school, and then he became a federal agent. So I was raised kind of...
being looked like that all the time. You thought it was normal.
I don't remember the look, but I remember that they were just as... they were just as strange as everybody else. We lived in a neighborhood where the chief lived nearby, and the guy across the street, the chief of police in Santa Maria, we lived in Fox and Woods, and then that... They would have parties, and the police officers and the chiefs and the different people would come. And I remember one day looking down, and a bunch of them put bags on their head and decided to streak the neighborhood. And I'm thinking, everyone in that streaking group is law enforcement.
Oh, that's fun. That's absolutely fun.
It was, as a young teen, you're totally humiliated.
But here's the thing. I really think, though, that somehow we've got to come back to center here and realize that, you know, this is the way the world works. And if multiple people with multiple circumstances come forth and say, you know, this is not right, well, we'll find out. You know, that's the way it always is. Now, here's the complaint that everybody always has, though, and I understand that. They go, yeah, you get these huge accusations about people, but if they're found to be innocent, you don't get the same headline that says the person was found innocent. Okay, I think the media is guilty of that. I think they are guilty of that, and I don't forgive them for it. I think, you know, if you're gonna do a headline type of a story and say, or anybody, and say here's this big, oh, Lisa Solomon, for instance, if Lisa Solomon was found absolutely innocent of anything she's been accused of, I certainly imagine that I'm going to see in Calcos News a story that says she was found innocent of those things.
And there's a double-edged sword with Lisa Solomon. There's not only are the allegations, there's a city-hired investigator. I don't know how they vetted her. I don't know how the attorney picked to do this. But you have, other than the city-run investigation, then you're going to have, as these lawsuits come through and different officers speak out, because I've probably had another half dozen officers call me since my story came out, saying I support those officers. I've seen things. Do you have a phone number? I'd like to call and say I'll be there to testify in court. They're coming out of the woodwork, and we're talking even some retired 3 or 4 years ago. Say I saw things. I want to be part of this. So it's going to take a while. Just if the city investigator says nothing's going on, there's still more to this.
But here's what I'm saying also. So you have Don Norton. If Don Norton ultimately is found to be innocent of these charges as people with an axe to grind, then the Tribune may not, and they may not, and I find fault with the fact that they may not put a story in there saying it turned out these accusations were false. This is my feeling as a Joe citizen and not a journalist.
Yeah.
My feeling is the person's owed that.
And I think so too. And I actually do think they'll come out if Questa. See, the problem with this sometimes is it's hard to find out, because very often there's these payouts, and the public has a hard time finding the payout, and they try to keep it very quiet. For example, Questa College could quietly pay this and it never gets to court and pay a settlement. And then it's very hard. And that's why sometimes I think you don't find out. For example, do you remember the allegations a couple years ago about sexism in against gay women in Tascadero PD?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it ended up being a fairly large payout. But that was kept quiet for a long time. So you hear the allegations, and all of a sudden you hear nothing forever. And then going back through cases, you find out she received lieutenant...
Compensation for it.
They ended up compensating after talking to a mediator. And were told, hey, you know, you guys are in the wrong, pay off. So that it's tough to find out some of these things when they do those quick payoffs.
All right, but here's the thing. I mean, if we look at just, I'll go to Calcos News and what we've had in the last week. Two Templeton residents arrested for burglary and drug possession. School aide admits to sex with student. We have the people that are accused of doing meth in front of a child. And this is the happiest mugshot I've ever seen a human being have. That guy, I don't know what methamphetamine does exactly, but if it makes you happy, it really worked for this guy. Because holy cow, that's a mugshot, isn't it?
Yes.
Anyway, I've never seen a mugshot quite like that. But anyway, he must always have his driver's license picture taken. Anyway, because you're allowed to smile now when you do that. But anyway, so just very strange. But so we'll move on with some of these events here. But it's, you know, I'm just saying that we've gotten sort of cockeyed, in my opinion, about, you know, how we criticize, whom we criticize when it comes to journalism and what we're doing.
And the other problem that I see this as a problem is that there is if it's crime like a meth, doing meth in a hotel room, that type of crime, immediately write about it. If it's embezzlement or white collar crime, oh, you can't talk about it till it's proven. That's a white-collar person. The other thing is I find that a lot of the media, where they want to check something out if someone, you know, in trouble says something, oh, let's vet this, make sure. But if someone like Chief Solomon makes a claim of crime is down, different things, it's immediately accepted without looking at it with some of the media. And I think that's another problem that's going on right now.
Yeah, because you see it, you know, it doesn't mean, it doesn't necessarily mean it's right. It means it's what's what we know of as of the moment, you know, that what's going on. I mean, that's what's going on. All right, let's get to other things. First off, let me say this about this. Before we get to the Grover Beach man's plane strain in Obama's airspace, which we'll get to, and this just turns out to be kind of funny in its own way. So this lady, Jody Fisher, that's in Cayucas, you know, that has terminal cancer.
Yeah.
Okay, so she wanted to hug the president. So she got to do that, and I want to clarify something. The president got to hug her. Thank you very much. Okay. All right. That's how I feel about Jody right there. So then here we have a plane loaded with large amounts of marijuana was forced to land after straight into President Barack Obama's no-fly zone over L.A. on Thursday. You can't smoke the stuff you're carrying and fly. It doesn't work.
Can you imagine? You're trying to smuggle. You don't look. And the guys, I don't know if it's the guy that owns the plane from Grover Beach. They're not telling who the guy is or the amount of marijuana at this point. Because it was a very large amount, and then they're wanting to do a federal investigation into it. But could you imagine you got caught because you went into, you got close to the president's plane?
Here's think of how startled this guy had to be when all of a sudden he has a jet fighter on either wing telling him he has to land. You know what I mean? It's like, I mean, I don't think most drug busts take place with jet fighters, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, that had to be very strange anyway.
And you don't know if it's him or not, but he doesn't have a regular license. He owns a plane. I don't know if it's the gentleman that owns the plane from Grover Beach. But if it is, he doesn't have a full license. He has a student's license right now, but he does own the plane.
Well, and we don't know you, so we'll see. We'll find out what that is. Okay, here is this. We'll just go through this real fast. The pair accused of doing meth in front of a child, and this was one of these weird people that are crazy. A 9-year-old. The woman had a 9-year-old son, and so they're holed up, and they shared the woman's methamphetamine at a hotel room they shared with the 9-year-old son. This was at the Avalon Motel on Spring Street in Paso. Police tested the boy for exposure to methamphetamine. Once they found evidence of meth use in the room, the test results returned positive on Wednesday morning that Calderwood was arrested on child endangerment charges. So that's, it's people that have no sense just have no sense. You know, if all of a sudden you go, well, here was a child involved. These people don't have a brain to begin with. The fact that there was a child involved is just another part of the problem of not having a brain.
And it is another interesting thing. I don't know if you noticed this. A couple of the crimes in Paso Robles this week that have been sent out press releases, Paso PD has not been responding to them. You have on this one, it's in the middle of Paso, and who responds? The Sheriff's Department. You have another one earlier in the week where they arrested a guy suspected of a bunch of burglaries. The security guard at the Walmart recognized him as being a suspect in these crimes. So who responds and makes the arrest? Slow Sheriff and Atascadero PD. Now, you've got two other agencies coming to Paso to take care of the crime. And the other issue is that won't show on Paso's crime stats. The agency that does the arrest, it's going to show on their crime stats. So it actually makes Paso look like it's having less crime because other agencies are coming in to handle it.
Which is another ongoing investigation about what's going on in Paso Robles. You know, Paso, there's lots of weird stuff going on in Paso. Let's take a break because we got a huge thing that we'll just talk around a little bit. I believe I know the person that has wrote this opinion article, Robert Sachs. I believe it's Bob Sachs, a person I know. And anyway, but this was an amazing story, and we'll just talk about it briefly because
okay.
Then people can go on calquestnews.com. As a matter of fact, if you want to kind of follow along, we'll kind of hit some of the highlights of it. Go to calquestnews.com during the break and click on local family story of the ether rapist on Dr. Phil, and we will fill you in more. As soon as we come back after this. This reminder also that we're being brought to you by Dr. Carol Roberts of Swiss Dental Center, who can make your teeth whole again.
Dr. Carol Phillips invites you to the Swiss Dental Center to discuss the wonderful new possibilities to make your mouth look and work like it should. Teeth. They come, they go, they come again. And then when they go the second time, it's goodbye forever. There's nothing you can do about the aging process that starts the loss of your permanent teeth. It's a bummer. But now you have two choices, false teeth and bridges and the pasty goop necessary to make those objects try and cling to your gums and the roof of your mouth, or 21st century implants offered by Swiss Dental Center. Identical to the real teeth you've lost without any more problems. Imagine, Dr. Carol Phillips can make it possible to chew normally, to eat normally, to actually enjoy chewing and eating normally. If you have tooth loss for whatever reason, go to SwissDentalCenter.com and let others tell you what Dr. Carol Phillips has done to help their lives. Dr. Carol Phillips, the most experienced tooth implant specialist on the Central Coast. We may be getting older, but Swiss Dental Center can help us take a bite out of time.
Subaru drivers are curious folks, so naturally the people who come into Rancho Grande Subaru in San Luis Obispo tend to ask a lot of questions. One we get a lot about is the Subaru Impreza, particularly after we tell them that the Impreza has symmetrically all-wheel drive while getting 36 miles per gallon. The question people ask most is, can you repeat that? And we say that the Subaru Impreza has symmetrical all-wheel drive and gets 36 miles to the gallon. Then they ask us to repeat again because they thought they heard us say the Subaru Impreza has all-wheel drive while getting 36 miles per gallon. And we tell them, yes, you heard right. To which they understandably say, wow. If you have a question about a Subaru, come to Rancho Grande Subaru in Slowtown. We'll be happy to give answers. Right now, lease a 2012 Impreza 2.0i for 39 months for $250 a month with $2,500 due at signing. Call 1-800-SUBARU-3 for lease details or come by Rancho Grande Subaru, 1404 Auto Parkway, San Luis Obispo.
But you can choose where to get help. Take MR imaging, for example. San Luis Diagnostic Center now offers their brand new 3 Tesla Ultra High Field Open MRI, the only system of its kind in California and one of three in the United States. If you're claustrophobic, it's not a problem. With their new Siemens Skyra scanner, it has the largest opening available. Plus, it has the best quality images and shortest scan times. That's right, shortest scan times. Largest capacity opening and image quality unequaled by any other scanner. San Luis Diagnostic Center is dedicated to providing state-of-the-art technology. So when you need an MRI, take control of your health care. Ask your doctor to send you to San Luis Diagnostic Center for their ultra-high-field, state-of-the-art open magnet. The choice is yours. Call 542-9700. All major insurances accepted.
This is Cal Coast News Week in Review, calcoastnews.com, and you're with Bill Beneck and Karen Vealey. Let me remind you, our phone numbers, 786-2578 and 1-866-937-1340. If you'd like to buzzer it in, you certainly may, and call us and talk about anything that we're talking about or something else you may have on your mind. I don't want to get too far in this story because it's very long, and but it was an interesting thing because it's going to be on Dr. Phil, and this was a story of a rapist, a serial rapist, who operated in a number of different states, and the person writing the article, his daughter, luckily, was not a victim but came close to being a victim. And so they're talking, he gets in a lot of very interesting things about rape kits and them not being looked at and all this, but, you know, now that they've, when they finally got the guy's DNA and they said, okay, now let's really start to look at what's going on. I mean, it was absurd how many rapes this guy had been involved in. And so I'll just stick with that and say it's a very long story, but it's very well worth your while to read, and it's on calcoastnews.com.
And when he wrote an opinion article 2 years ago, and when he first wrote that opinion article, it was regards to when he had called the ether rapist would go in windows and put ether and then rape victim. And he wasn't able to rape his daughter, but they didn't even do much about it. They said, well, you haven't had a rape. we're not going to do a big investigation. It wasn't successful. And at the time, he thought more should happen. Well, later on, it came out that this guy, I think he raped almost 50 women that way.
Yeah. You know, someday we'll be better off because of, someday maybe there'll be more women running the country than men, and perhaps they will realize that, you know, what women's issues really are and should be. You know, it's kind of like this crazy abortion birth control thing we've just all been through, this craziness, you know what I mean? It's like, excuse me.
I don't know if the women are, right now I've been told, there's a gentleman putting a book out this summer, and he's going to mention some things in our county, but it's on crime statistics with women and women are involved, and kind of on predatory females. But the interesting thing is women are surging in crime. We have surpassed men as the top criminals in certain crimes like embezzlement, and we are skyrocketing up, but we're going to pass men in... We're expected to pass men in numerous crimes over the next 10 years and be the bigger criminal.
I am one hear me roar. And numbers too big to ignore, I guess. All right. We want to do this other story. Let me find it for us. Okay.
The story of the mental health. Correct?
Oh, here it is right here in front of me. Okay, I'm sorry, yes. Kafka-esque came into our vocabulary. It creeped back in after many years of just sort of sitting there dormant in this particular story. And that wasn't even your term. That was someone else's, right?
It was Jimmy Kiernan.
Jimmy Kiernan. So I was kind of like, but he's a lawyer. He's supposed to use words like that. So people go, that must mean something. All right. So anyway, so here's what's going on, though. This is very interesting. This, of course, has to do with what it mostly has to do with at this point, I mean, that's very important, is Judge Dodi Harmon. And so Valerie Lane was this woman that went into mental health, went out back. They put her in a cage, basically, and she was smoking a cigarette. She was there for depression. And they put this guy, who had been accused of multiple assaults, been convicted of multiple assaults.
Yeah.
They put him in with her. The moment that they both finished their cigarettes, he beat the living daylights out of her, which, of course, was on a video on CalQuestNews.com. So James McKiernan has taken up the case because the county refused to really pay any attention to it. Well, now Judge Dodi Harmon has basically said, you know, you may want us to demur on this thing, you know, but you can't. You know, you're responsible for what happened to this person.
And this is the interesting thing, is it hasn't, what has happened typically, and the reason being is that, you know, county mental health, they feel like if they're suable just like a regular hospital, that they would have no money. But then it's just gotten out of control, according to some, and where there's so many assaults and they're, you know, kind of a lackadaisical, well, patient-on-patient violence we can't be sued for. They were also trying to claim that they were not a county mental health facility, and they're the only county mental health facility. So they filed a demur, and the interesting thing is, according to Jim McKiernan, this is probably the first time in the state that these cases have not been lost before they've even gone to trial, because you don't have a right to claim, you know, they're not responsible for patient-on-patient violence. Dodi Harmon said, you do have responsibility. Let's look at this case. Not definitely yes or no on this case, but they gave responsibility. So now they have to, they actually have to start responding as if they may have to do something about this.
Well, and here's this guy, Sharif, is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
Sharif. Okay, he's 59 years old. He'd been involuntarily placed in Slough County Mental Health by law enforcement officers and was known at the time to have an extensive history of criminal convictions for violence, assaulting a police officer, drugs, molestation of children, indecent exposure, and theft. I mean, it's like, holy dump truck. She might as well have been taken to the men's colony and just thrown in the yard. You know, I mean, really, that's kind of absurd.
That was. And could you imagine, you have had a severe migraine, your therapist is worried about you because your migraine's so bad, and they're worried you might hurt yourself. They get you to check yourself in, and you are beaten to a point where you're not going to recover from some of your injuries. She is losing sight in one eye, plus she has a hematoma, so the eye is about half red right now, blood red, and it may stay that way. This has been 2 years. So this is a woman whose quality of life was taken back. You know, a lot of her quality was taken away. But the other interesting thing is, when I first interviewed her, her primary goal was they make changes at mental health. What happens in November, another woman is, they bring another guy in. This guy had tested positive for cocaine, which means he can't go to county mental health. another man with an extensive history of sexual assaults of women. They bring him in, and instead of taking him to jail, they take him to county mental health, the police officer in Paso does. He walks in a room and sexually assaults another woman. And when I talked to Valerie Lane, the first victim of the assault, the earlier assault, she actually started weeping, and she said, I can't believe they didn't make changes, and women are still at risk in that facility.
This calls for speculation, so I got to be careful how I ask you this question, how you answer this question. But what I'm not understanding is if you have these people that are actually being actually, these men are not being picked up for mental health reasons per se. They're being picked up for criminal reasons. So I'm not sure why they don't go to jail first, and then a judge would order them to be evaluated in mental health somewhere. I don't understand. Why are they going to mental health first?
Well, that technically they are. There is mental health facilities at the jail. They don't have to take them. Criminals do not need to be taken to county mental health. There is mental health evaluations and mental health services at the jail. Now, this was one of the complaints by people at sources at mental health, was that the officer was in a hurry to get back to Paso, and if he dropped the prisoner off at mental health, and the guy I guess has some mental health issues, but if he drops him off at county mental health, and again, he was on cocaine. You're not supposed to, and he'd already been tested. It would only take him about 5-10 minutes to check the guy in. If he has to go over to the jail, he has a couple hours of work. Paso Robles is very short-staffed. And in November, they had two guys on paid administrative leave, so they were two officers shorter than usual.
So this became a sort of a act of convenience.
That's the contention from sources at mental health.
And I'm not going to say I don't understand that completely with law enforcement. I mean, law enforcement, I forget what they told me. I've been on the police ride-along thing, And they have to take somebody out to county jail. I think they say you're talking about an hour to 2 hours of time that you're off the beat then, just to get the person checked into jail and all that stuff. So, but it's an extensive length of time. It's not like just, a short time. And you have to be there while the person's processed and all that kind of stuff. So it is a law enforcement issue, an issue for law enforcement when they do take somebody to jail. This is how much time it consumes. And so, which is why they really like it when they have a big melee like, the Mardi Gras. They can just put people on a bus and take them all at once. it's interesting and another crazy thing. Now, here's another big story in the news at calcoastnews.com this week, of course, is that, as we know, police and fire have reached some agreements with the city as far as their benefits and pay and all that, and retirement and paying their own retirement to save the city some money. However, the union for the city employees has not signed on to that at all.
And police have not. Firefighters have, and management has.
Oh, and police haven't?
No, police haven't at this point. There's a couple other unions that still need to do it. And this is management took a 6% or an 8% cut regarding their paying their own PERS. One of the gentlemen, and Cal Coast News wrote about this before about 4 or 5 days before the press release came out. We had sources inside the city that were telling us it was stalled, that people were getting aggressive, that it was getting very angry. They were claiming the president of SLOCIA does not want to give any concessions. The city wants at least a 6.8% reduction. And some of the employees are afraid if they would just like to say, hey, okay, we're going to take the 8% reduction by giving up our portion of our retirement benefits, because that's most likely going to happen this summer anyway,
right,
as part of the governor's 12-point plan.
Right.
So they're expecting that anyway, and they're saying, why don't we just agree to that? But then their president is arguing for different. And it's been kind of an ugly – this has been a little uglier than usual.
Why? Do you know?
Some employees are even claiming that he's kind of tied to management, that he's throwing them under the bus, and they're going to end up getting – see, once you go to an impasse, they can end up forcing them to take whatever they want them to give. So let's say they end up in an impasse, and they give the employees the 6.8% pay reduction – and then they get the other 8% reduction this summer by losing.
Because of the governor's plan.
And then they could end up with about a 15% reduction in pay rather than the you know, way above the 6.8 they're being asked to
do. I'm confused now. So why is it the union, why is the employees union can't say to the guy that's causing the grief to quit causing the grief?
He's the president of the union.
Well, does he just reign over the union? Does he have any input to the guy?
I think they have a right to have him step down. I know some are very concerned. There's been a lot of problems in Slo City. I've had emails for years with people upset about the way it's run. And remember, the guy that's running this, Ron Faria, he was the one that was found to have taken the lawnmower from the city and then, you know, scrapped it.
So yeah. Yeah. Well, that's all weird. That's a whole other thing that's weird. But it would seem to me, I mean, and you've nailed it black and white. If you wanted to have an impasse and the city says, okay, we're going to take your 6.8%, you're right. It's almost a 99% guarantee that you're going to lose the other 8% this summer. So it's foolish not to say, okay, take the 8%. I don't understand why there's even a question of saying, take the 8%. It's going to go away anyway. Take it as this negotiation, and then more doesn't go away.
Absolutely.
I'm not, it's like, you know, you're sitting there going, say, did I not understand this? This is not complicated math. This is an algebra. You know, this is just a simple dimple math, you know what I mean, that most of us can do.
Even as liberal arts people understand this.
That's right. Even liberal arts people can understand this kind of math. Anyway, I don't get it. I don't really understand that. But anyway, that's I've never been in a union, so I don't know what it's like to wrestle with my union leader. What else is going on in our world this week, Karen, you want to talk about?
One of the things Dan did an article on Lisa Solomon. The reason he did it was to explain the difference between sexual harassment and sexual battery. And cities cannot have laws that are different from state laws. And the city considers any type of physical touching by a management to be sexual harassment. But state government, you know, our state penal code says no. If you touch somebody, physically touch
their privates.
Their privates, or even skin in some cases can be considered battery, and so it's clear cut. What they're claiming happened is battery. It's not sexual harassment, and to try to say, well, in Paso Robles, we don't consider that battery. We consider that sexual harassment. I find a stretch for the city manager. And he has sent out emails. This is sexual harassment here. In our city code, we consider that harassment. So kind of...
We need to have a CalcosNews.com party of some kind where we can meet some of these people. Everybody gets together, you know, you meet Jim App and some of these other people and go, let me look at this man in the eye because I don't understand these things. All right, we probably won't do that right away. Now, here's another thing we're doing here. Oceanic seawater intrusion deemed a scam. San Francisco County's government agencies have been using data known to be phony to secure state and federal grants following a 2009 report of a seawater intrusion. Tell us more about that.
And see, there's a lot of different issues to this. And I noticed one of the posters keeps thinking this is saying, okay, this is going to give Oceano more water to sell to developers. Actually, what this is being used for is a lot of grabs for water. For example, they've applied to the state for more of the state water on this, saying we have seawater intrusion. And with this one grant that looks like it's going to come through, the Pismo Beach will be given 1,200 square feet of water that they wouldn't get without seawater intrusion because they're all working off the same basin. There's a lot of money in grants. There's, I think, 10.5 in the pipeline right now coming in Prop 84 funds, with a lot of it being based on the idea of seawater intrusion. Now, usually if there's a well that tests high for salt water, they verify what's going on. Did something happen? Did something get in there? How did this test at this point? They don't just say, hey, you got salt for 2 months, let's claim seawater intrusion. That's not what happened here. You had and we have pictures of the well on the site. You had a well with the top compromised gunk in it in the middle of a homeless encampment that was being used as a urinal.
Okay.
And this isn't something that water comes from. This is, or not, it's not a used well. It's a well, it's a testing well. It's right near the ocean, so it's a testing well to see for saltwater intrusion. They cleaned it out. They put a cement pad over it. They sealed it so no one could get into it. And right after they did that, guess what? That was done in the beginning of 2010 or 2010. There has not been any sign of seawater intrusion since that happened. Meanwhile, from the Pomo on, throughout the county, it is being used to apply for government monies. And the people, the one of the interesting things, the city leaders over in Oceano board members have been asking their board, their managers, back when they had Rafael Montemurro, you need to tell the Board of Supervisors we've verified this is untrue. And instead, this last guy, they told him, the guy they're working with now, Gieslin, Tom Gieslin, they told him in early November, you need to verify this because there's just a couple more things just happened, more grant money being awarded on false premises, and it's being used. At the time, he didn't do it. Instead, he signed a letter applying for grant money as part of the water, the RAC, the Water Resources Association that Oceano's part of. And so he instead did the opposite. And then when they really pressured him, he said their computers had been hacked. And I've had sources from inside Oceano saying that was made up. And, you know, it's interesting for them to have been hacked like they said they were. They're claiming someone came in after hours, had a key to the building, which only a couple people had, was able to get onto a computer using Tom Gieslin's code, because that his code was used to go in and delete a couple files. They only deleted a couple old files that had nothing to do with any of this anyway. But then it comes up during this meeting that things aren't getting done. I wasn't able to do my work because our computers were hacked. 2 weeks later, another meeting, he brings back up computer hacks, and I did not get the letter done again. At this point, the president of the board, Matt Guerrero, runs during break, writes the letter claiming that this is being used to extort money from different agencies and that it's being used illegally with a false premise. So it's kind of a, it doesn't sound exciting, but it is a lot of money floating here.
And then here's the other thing, too. Now, the Wallace Group has been involved in other stuff that's been going on with this whole thing, correct, in Oceano?
They were involved in this running the sanitation district, which right now, I mean, he runs, he charges the sanitation district $50,000 to $70,000 a month for himself, and another $10,000 a month is what they pay their attorney, is what they've been paying their attorney lately. And at the same time, they've gotten, and I found this kind of surprising, they got both Blakesley and Cacho, Sajjan, to write letters asking not to fine them that much and, you know, feel sorry for us because they're under fire for a spill that occurred a couple Decembers ago. So or was it December 2010? I think it was December 2010, so a little over a year ago. And they're expecting fines, so they're trying to get some of the big guns in town to help them fight back. But Wallace was found to have done some emails with, you know, just manipulating the numbers of this bill and playing some games. So he's been known, he's been accused of manipulating numbers in the past.
Well, and it has to do with contracts coming his direction to begin with.
Yeah, and what this is he's the one that says there was saltwater intrusion. He's the one that went and did all these big speeches, oh, this is saltwater intrusion, everything's in risk now. And he's the one getting paid to do a lot of these projects, like the Nukpoma water pipeline. So he is making money off of his claim.
All right. Okay. All right. Other things going. We have crime stuff that's gone on. You know, we got people stabbing each other and doing the normal stuff that happens on the Central Coast just when people have nothing else to do. And then there was another thing though I wanted to say. Oh, here was a. And then we have the aide up in San Miguel with a 14-year-old boy.
Yeah.
You know, the whole. I never understood the point of hickeys to begin with, but maybe I missed the boat when I was young. Anyway, so she got nabbed for that. So she's in trouble with that. And then the other thing was, here was the thing that was, let's do a good news thing, was this, the state's job outlook brightens. You had a nice article about that and said, okay, things are looking a little bit better.
Yeah.
And then there's been other connected news to that that's saying, okay, we got more manufacturing jobs, you know, things are, our durable goods orders are up, our car sales are better, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, in general, and, you know, and you have to remember for California as a state, we make a lot of durable goods in the state.
And average pay is also up. Mm-hmm. So there are a number of good indicators, and I think there's been a five-month decrease in the unemployment rates while also at the same time increasing average salary levels. So there are some really nice things to say that the economy appears to be making a change. And it's not just a one-month or two-month bump. It's been going on now for a while.
Now, here's what's really weird, though. And because this is the most head-scratching phenomenon that's going on right now in the midst of our recession to me, and that is these people that are unemployed and have been, let's say, for an extended period of time, and now, of course, they're going to try to extend those benefits some more. The problem is it's turning out to be somewhat counterproductive because the longer someone's been on unemployment, for whatever reason, the less desirable they are to employ. And it's like it's like a weird catch-22 that, you know, these people are caught in, that they desperately wanted to work. They go to places and they apply and they go, no, you're overqualified. We're not going to take you. And the people are like, no, I don't care. I'll do anything. I'll flip hamburgers. I don't care. And they go, nah, you're overqualified. And you've been out of work too long. It's like, say what? So yeah. Now, so here the president's trying to say, okay, we're going to try to make this better by extending these unemployment benefits. I mean, you're sort of saving people's butts in a way for a little bit longer. But in the long run, we don't know what's going to happen with this employment trend. Are we finally going to have enough manufacturing jobs? Because I saw a thing on CNN today where we're really short of machinists now. You know, we used to have more machinists and we had good sense in this country. And so we're short of machinists. But the question then becomes is, are we finally going to get over this weird hurdle of you've been out of work too long and these people are going to go back to work? And I don't have an answer to that.
You're no longer, I think, allowed to ask how some of the – you're no longer allowed to not accept applications from people that haven't been working for a long period of time.
But are they allowed to ask them how long they've
been? I'm sure they are, because they can find their job history. It is problematic because it's definitely not helping the economy.
Well, it's certainly not helping these people, and it doesn't seem to really make any sense. That's where we're doing it. Let's ask you if we got wild things in the fire.
We've got a couple of very interesting things in the fire right now. We're working on some more stories of alleged corruption in the city of San Luis Obispo. We're also kind of an odd story regarding somebody that's involved with children at schools. And I had a report probably a month ago that this gentleman had been convicted of crimes like murder and running escort services, and that somehow he had lied on his application. And then I got a couple calls saying, oh, no, it's all been found, he's somebody else. And then I'm called and told, well, no, he wasn't found to be somebody else. And everybody's claiming they never said he was somebody else. And I've talked to law enforcement, I've talked to school district heads, and it's just bizarre. And again, this is someone that a real aggressive murder of someone of a different religion and, kind of doing things to the body and then sticking it in a refrigerator and dumping it somewhere. And then also allegedly running escort services. And now he's spending time with children.
Okay, that and more. You can look forward to next week, calcosnews.com. Don't forget, 24/7, you just go to calcosnews.com, and during the day you can click on, or night, it doesn't matter time, you can click on Talk is Cheap in the upper right-hand corner, and there'll be a place where you click here, and then you can listen to KYNS at any time of the day or night. Hopefully you'll listen between noon and 2 when we're here. Karen, I thank you very much for doing our week in review, and we'll talk to you again next week. Thank you.
CBS News, I'm Sam Litzinger. Officials say no members of the public or of Congress were ever in danger, but they've arrested a Moroccan man they say was planning to carry out an attack at the U.S. Capitol. They say a sting operation nabbed him. CBS News senior national security analyst Juan Zarate.
This is yet another example of the new threat that we face from terrorism. It isn't necessarily just the Al-Qaeda from 2001, the Al-Qaeda core-led movement, but instead you have individuals who are inspired to kill, perhaps inspired by Al-Qaeda, but perhaps on their own.
Officials say the suspect was given a fake gun and fake bomb. Analysts say it's a political boost for President Obama. Congress has passed legislation to extend a tax cut for 160 million workers and continue long-term unemployment benefits.
The conference report is agreed to 60 to 36.
That was the Senate vote, which came quickly after the House vote.
I'm Peter Mayer in Everett, Washington.
So I'm going to sign this bill right away when I get back home.
President Obama has used an appearance at the huge Boeing plant here to celebrate passage of the tax cut extension and to take a slight dig.
It is amazing what happens when Congress focuses on doing the right thing instead of just playing politics.
Passage of the tax cut measure is a big win for the president. He calls it a short-term step to boost the economy.
A bill legalizing same-sex marriage in New Jersey has been delivered to Governor Chris Christie, who opposes gay marriage and has promised to veto. He and most Republican lawmakers want the issue decided by public vote. The Democrats say gay marriage is a civil right protected by the Constitution, shouldn't be subject to a popular vote. A personal question, how much money have you saved? CBS News correspondent Pam Coulter says a new survey suggests the personal answer for many is not enough.
Just ahead of America Saves Week, the survey found the percentage of Americans saving enough for everything from emergencies to retirement continues to decrease.
Clearly, despite the many recent hopeful economic signs, the Great Recession has had a lingering effect on many Americans.
The Consumer Federation of America's Stephen Brobeck says those who have a savings plan are in much better financial condition than those without one. And that's true for every income level. Pam Coulter, CBS News.
Google's model has been don't be evil, but some users may be having doubts because there's a report the internet giant has been bypassing the security settings of millions of iPhone and iPad owners who use Apple's Safari to surf the net. Stanford University researcher Jonathan Mayer.
In the case of Google, we can say that at minimum it appears they were using this data to draw inferences about the user's interest and to display targeted advertising.
Google disabled the tracking after being contacted by the Wall Street Journal. On Wall Street, near the close, a pretty good day. The Dow closing in on 13,000. It was up 46 points today. The S&P 500 index was up 3. The NASDAQ, though, was down about 8 points. This is CBS News.
Beat the winter blues with great savings at Rite Aid. Now through March 3rd, you can earn a $20 plus-up reward when you spend $100 or more on select products with your Wellness Plus card. Just look for the Buy and Save symbol on participating products throughout the store and circular. Save more this winter at Rite Aid with Winter Rewards. Another way Wellness Plus saves you more. In-store purchase with Wellness Plus card only. Plus-up will be printed on receipt in most markets for use on your next purchase once qualifying threshold is met. Plus-up expires March 17th, 2012.
The Home Depot has made a special buy on 18 by 18 ceramic tile. Select styles start at 78 cents per square foot, which could make that floor or wall project you've been dreaming of a very affordable reality. This tile is just one of all the get-it-done savings you'll find at our Savings Spectacular. So hit those orange aisles for ceramic tile, now just 78 cents per square foot. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only. See store for details.
Restaurant workers in Florida could see their minimum wage cut by more than half if the bill now under consideration in the state legislature becomes law.
The proposed law would reduce hourly tipped wages to $2.13 an hour if an employer guarantees $9.98 an hour with tips. That might not be a problem for workers in high-end restaurants or tourist areas, but restaurant union head Eric Clinton says
workers in moderate to low-end restaurants don't make that.
A hospitality trade group says the rising minimum wage is hurting its restaurateurs, but at least one large restaurant owner says this is the wrong time to cut wages. The Florida Senate committee has approved the bill, but there is no state House counterpart yet. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
It was a mowing mistake that cost the city of Newport News, Virginia, nearly $1 million. In the summer of 2010, the city sent out jail inmates to mow some property, which turned out to be protected wetlands and couldn't be mowed. In the end, officials bought the property, which cost taxpayers $950,000. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
Mike Rowe here with Jim Twitchell. Jim, you're a, what are you?
I'm a senior master technician.
You've been with Ford now for how long?
24 years, thankfully.
Jim, a lot of people hear about the works and they figure it's an oil change. It is an oil change, right?
No, Mike, it's not just an oil change.
Please proceed.
Well, it includes a brake inspection, belt and hoses check, checking your cabin filter, your air filter, tire rotation, battery test, top off all the fluids, and a multi-point inspection with a detailed report card.
All right, it certainly seems comprehensive, this works thing. What doesn't it include?
Well, that list is probably very short.
Glove compartment, you check that?
We try to stay out of your glove box.
What about my antenna?
Come see the experts at your local Ford dealer for a great value on routine service. The Works Fuel Saver package covers everything you need for just $29.95 or less after $10 rebate. Stop by today.
If we were to sum up, you'd say the Works Fuel Saver package includes pretty much everything for one low price.
It'll cover everything that your car needs for a scheduled maintenance service.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 3/31/12.
Moved to a new location. She is now located at 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320, next to the DMV in San Luis Obispo, and now easy to find and plenty of parking. Stop in and see her at her beautiful new facilities. Karen Scott has been serving the Central Coast for over 30 years. Board certified, she and her staff understands the need to have your hearing checked. From your child to your teen, your mother to your grandparents, hearing loss can occur at any age, and it's nice to know that Karen Scott has the knowledge and experience to help you with all your hearing aid needs. With a wide selection to choose from, they also offer industrial screenings. Give Karen Scott a call today for your free consultation, 541-1790, or stop by 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320, next to the DMV in San Luis Obispo, helping you hear the things you love.
All right, Dad, let's talk about Spencer's Fresh Market, shall we? Because I got Jim D coming in to do our movie review for the weekend. And right now, though, I want to tell you about Spencer's because they got some great things going on. They got Spencer's Baja Filets or Tri-Tips, your choice for $3.99 a pound. Great, especially at an outstanding price for Baja Filets. If you haven't tried one yet, try one. 3-day only sale. We have 2 pounds of Brussels sprouts for $1. We have 2 ahi tuna steaks for $3. This is today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Sun Vista Ranchero beans are 79 cents a holler and 79 cents each for Bounty paper towels, whole frying chickens for just 99 cents. And, yes, I go through all the different ones. You can, there's nobody this week you're going to get a whole frying chicken for 99 cents except John Spencer. I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you. All right, he's got all the great things in the deli department. Don't forget all the time. So if you don't want to feel like, you know, you're busy, you've had a busy day, you're not in the mood to cook and all that, stop by John's. He's got chicken already made. He's got meatloaf. He's got tri-tips. He's got all kinds of hot stuff, and he's got great salads and everything. And plus, he's got the Boar's Head meats and cheeses, and he's got a butcher department. There's an actual butcher department. If there's some beast that you normally can't acquire because you don't have a hunting license and you just can't find it, go to John Spencer. I'm serious. Go to Spencer's Fresh Market. Go to the butcher department and say, I need some caribou or yak or whatever it may be, and you'll be so surprised at what they can do for you. So go to – and, of course, they have got great fresh produce. They got the organic things. All the good things are at Spencer's Fresh Markets all the time, where freshness is local. And don't forget your slow-roasted coffee in Atascadero, Morro Bay, Aurora Grande, Santa Maria, and San Luis Obispo.
I know that when you hear the name Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, you immediately think of great flushing Toto toilets. Or maybe it's our state-of-the-art Growy kitchen and bath faucets. Or maybe it's those tiny massaging bubbles of a Jason Comfort Air Bath. But here's something you may not know. We have the most fabulous line of cabinet and door hardware on the Central Coast. Knobs and pulls created for whatever look you desire. Rustic, modern, craftsman, Asian, in durable, long-lasting finishes like Venetian bronze, brushed nickel, distressed copper, or even cloisonné. The choices are endless, the quality superb. You'll find that Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath has the county's widest selection of bathroom vanity cabinets in all types of designs. Roomy linen storage cabinets, beveled mirror medicine cabinets, and handcrafted wall mirrors. That's Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath behind Trader Joe's in San Luis Obispo.
Happy Friday to you. Worked your butt off again. Happy Friday to you. Go get drunk with all your friends.
By Sunday after you've been on a bender, your boss's face you barely will remember. Happy Friday to you. Have a great week.
Hey, kids, remember, lots of adults and kids, too, paid admission to enjoy the show. We must insist on absolute quiet.
We're here. Jim D. Bilbacca. This is Week at the Movies right here, and we get together on Fridays and we talk about what's happened at the movies. We talk about all kinds of movie stuff. We talk about, you know, the big, what do you call it, the wide screeners and the cineplexes, and then we talk about the great things that are going on at the Palm Theater, which always are the better things because they're four bangers every time. Hi, Jim.
Bill, how are you? Nice to see you.
No, an article, you may have seen it in the paper the other day, and it was, they go back and David Middlekamp looks at the old-time things that happened. He had a whole article on Weird Al Yankovic.
Good old, yeah, I mean, I went to Cal Poly, but he was there after I left. Too bad. But, my remembrance of Weird Al was him at the Mission Plaza playing Deep Purple on his accordion, you know, Smoke on the Water or something like that. That's my remembrance when he was here in San Luis Obispo.
Anyway, have fun. Now, this was just sort of weird that a couple of movie things crossed my eyes this week, and one of them was right here in Ticket Magazine. These films showcase the bond between food and love. This was Mr. Pemberton's article. And then ARP had a thing, so we'll go to ARP had a thing. We'll go to that, too. So let's just talk about some of these things. These films showcase the bond between food and love. I was going to say, if you, it's not really food and love, but if I had to say what movie did food stand out the most, I would say it would be Animal House.
Oh, for me, it's Big Night.
Oh, okay. All right, here's what he had. So this is Sarah Lynn's block, So Lady and the Tramp, you know, where they're doing the spaghetti thing and all that.
Oh, yeah.
That was great. Breakfast at Tiffany's, of course. Once Upon a Time in America. 9 1/2 Weeks, When Harry Met Sally. And I don't know if you know this. You probably do know this. The woman who said, "I'll have what she's having," you know, when they had the scene with Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan, that was actually Rob Reiner's mom. It's actually the woman who said that. Waitress.
So Carl Reiner's wife. Yes? Is that who that would be?
That would make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Carl Reiner's wife would be Rob Reiner's mom.
There you go.
God, you see, that's why I have you here to help me out with this. I need to have the genealogy part, you know what I mean? Waitress, I don't remember Waitress at all. Kerry Russell, express herself with her inventory, such as the... do you remember this movie, Waitress?
Oh, yeah, we showed it. Charming, and Andy Griffith is in it, and he swears in it.
What?
It's a charming movie.
He swears in it?
Yeah, it's an interesting role for good old Andy Griffith. He was sort of the mentor of the waitress, and the woman who played the waitress, she's quite a star. But, we did very nicely with that small film, and it was an interesting role for Andy Griffith.
And then they have here for 2009, I Am Love.
Yes, that has Tilda Swinton, and it's a lot of Italian food. It's an Italian film. And, you know, it's interesting about that article. Food is important in there, but the real food movies, I always get a big kick out of, like Water for Chocolate, Big Night, Tampopo is a Japanese noodle western, they call it, a guy in search of the perfect ramen. That goes back to the 80s. But there are some films that, you know, Sarah did a great job there, but food is like, you know, the main character.
Another one, because I mentioned last week, I had just seen it again, was As Good as It Gets. You know, it centers around her being a waitress, you know, really, in this restaurant she's in.
Yeah.
Anyway, but so there's a lot of them. The one thing you never see almost never see in the movies is that nobody ever goes to the bathroom. It's the one thing that we've never figured out where they have time for that.
Unless it moves the plot forward.
Somehow it moves the plot, which is very seldom for whatever reason. All right, we just want people to be normal like us, is all. That's what I'm asking about. Now, let's go over here. My ARP magazine this month. Are you eligible for this yet? Are you 50 years old?
Okay. I'm 60.
Okay, you can join. You can join, buddy. You could have had your 10th anniversary.
I'm right? A senior.
You're a senior. All right, so this is what they came up with. This is the best movies for grown-ups. Okay, now you're going to be, you ran almost all of these.
Huh.
Best movies for grown-ups, The Descendants. They have in different categories. I'm sorry. The best movie for grown-ups, The Descendants. Actress Glenn Close and Albert Nobbs.
Yep, got that right now at the Palm.
Right. Actor Oliver Lotondo in The First Grader. Well, I'm not familiar with that.
I think that's a film from Africa. It's a black actor. Is that correct?
Or yes, did they?
Yeah. And I'm not sure. I think that may have been released, but, again, it's way under the radar. But here it's a very charming film about a guy who is, what, in his 50s or 60s and goes back to the first grade.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be a great film.
All right. Supporting actor Christopher Plummer in Beginners, which, of course, he got the Golden Globe.
He did, and he's fabulous in that film. We showed that last summer, and that's a really wonderful film.
Vanessa Redgrave for supporting actress in Coraline. How do you say that? Coraline?
Oh, that's the Ralph Fiennes war film, and that has yet to be released. I think it's just coming out in the next week or two.
Coriolanus, I'm going to go with.
Yep. I think
which is better than going Coriolanus. So I'm going to go with Coriolanus because I have no idea how to pronounce this word whatsoever. So I'm being very honest about the whole thing. Okay, so we got the thing. All right, the director, Stephen Daldry, Extremely Loud, Incredibly Close.
Yeah, that one, I don't think it grossed a whole lot for some reason, even though it has Tom Hanks in it. And
it's already gone.
It sort of came and went, even though it's nominated for Best Picture. You know, these days in the Oscars, it can be 10 pictures. This year, oddly, it's 9, but that film is nominated for Best Picture. Max von Sydow is in that, the wonderful Swedish actor, in the supporting role.
But I think I predicted that the thing wouldn't have any legs at all because it was about 9/11.
Well,
I don't think we're not. We're just not. I don't think we're ready for 9/11 yet, and I don't know that we'll ever really be ready for 9/11 movies. Do you know what I mean?
True.
It was too extraordinarily and amazingly terrible.
I don't think it's something. I don't know if people want to revisit or not.
Right.
Or,
but then again, you know, I suppose you know there was a time they would have said that about Pearl Harbor. You know, and they've made how many movies about Pearl Harbor since? You know, so you never know, but.
It's usually after the fact I think we were talking about Vietnam movies, that it took the Vietnam War to finish. And, you know, 5-6 years later, Apocalypse Now comes out, Platoon comes out. So it's almost as if when the war is raging, you have to wait for some time, even though that wasn't the case in the Iraq War. There were a dozen or so really good documentaries on the Iraq War that were really heart-wrenching, but they were getting released while the war was on, which was pretty interesting.
The problem, I think another problem with 9/11 is, I don't care what you say, we're going to do a 9/11 movie. It's going to end badly. There's not, if you say, okay, we're going to cover the first responders, we're going to do a fireman movie, we're going to do a, I don't care what you name, what you're going to do, in the end, it's going to be a bummer. And so I don't know if that, I mean, for me emotionally, I go, I don't need this, you know, to be very honest, if there's a movie like that. And as a matter of fact, this one here, this Incredibly Close, I thought, I don't need to revisit this.
You know, it's also interesting, Bill, is when you see a film that takes place in New York and you see the World Trade Centers up there, you know, immediately you go, oh, they're not there.
Yeah,
they're not
right.
there anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe the ultimate. I don't know if you saw the documentary called Man on Wire, which is about the Frenchmen who
crossed
the tightrope in between the World Trade Centers.
Right.
And you know, you're watching this, and it not only is the documentary incredible, that won an Oscar for Best Documentary, and it's great if you haven't seen it, Man on Wire. But here is something that not only probably would never be done again because he was arrested right after he did it, and he does do it. He walks between the World Trade Centers. In fact, I should tell you that his whole idea. I mean, you know, these guys that are climbing buildings or they're like a Spider-Man, and you kind of go, what's the deal here? Why would he do this? The guy in this film, in Man on Wire, his whole thing was he wanted people to look up, and you can't see the wire, on the ground.
Right, right.
So his idea was putting people into sort of a dreamlike state where you look up and you see a guy essentially floating in between the World Trade Centers. And I thought, okay, I kind of like
that. We can get that.
I like that. But you know, you realize that will never, ever happen again. Not only it probably wouldn't have happened again, but now the World Trade Centers are gone.
Well, and here's the thing. You know, I'd much rather envision that and say I get your message than Christo, who puts, you know, orange blankets across half the countryside in some shape and pattern. You know, that crazy guy that does all the big art things, and you go, What are you doing that for? Why would you bother? All right, writer Woody Allen for Midnight in Paris, and the last cute one was movie for grown-ups who refuse to grow up was The Muppets.
Really? I think The Muppets did pretty well when they came out, and they were sort of out of the loop or so. Of course, they got some responses from conservatives and the fact they thought that those Muppets were real liberal with what they were talking about, like global warming or whatever they were talking about.
We got Bert and Ernie are gay, and we got, you know, the something's wrong with the Mr. Grouch, and there's something wrong with everything. it amazes me we can survive. We can survive ourselves somehow. All right, let's talk about some other things that are going on in the movies, things that are out and people are going to see. And there was a I wish I had the thing from last week, the thing that comes out of the paper on Monday of who went where, but I don't have it right with me. All right, so here's some things that are going on. This Means War is a new movie coming out, and this is Tom Hardy, Reese Witherspoon, and Charles Pine, and this is the two guys after the same girl movie type thing. So that's one of the things that's going on.
Well, you know, Bill, you know, going back to last week, I do want to say that the movie industry was really pretty savvy. With Valentine's Day last Tuesday, they opened the film called The Vow, which I was sort of unaware of. And it went through the roof. I mean, it was huge. The Denzel Washington film Safe House did very well. And, of course, in the number three position was the re-release of the Star Wars
yeah.
Phantom Menace in 3D.
Right.
And then we got to Tuesday, and a lot of people went to the movies. We were very busy, too, at the Palm. But it was kind of interesting how I'm sure that the executives and the movie studios just go, wow, we hit it out of the park this weekend with films geared towards Valentine's Day. Very successful.
Oh, very interesting. And of course, they try to do that. Now, we'll see next 4th of July if they bother to put Will Smith in a movie and see what happens.
That's a given, isn't it? Well, Men in Black 3 is coming out.
It is?
Oh, yeah, they're making a third one.
Then hell, that'll be coming out the 4th of July for sure.
Yeah, I think it has, why can't I think of his name? Well, he has to go back in time to find the Tommy Lee Jones character.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, I was watching some of the first Men in Black, which popped onto the TV recently. It's pretty hilarious. I mean, it's almost, aside from the special effects, the dialogue. You know, here's Tommy Lee Jones. He walks into this place, and he goes, here's this new medium. I got to rebuy the White Album. You know, things like that. Or Elvis Presley isn't dead. He just went home, meaning he was an alien, and he was from another planet.
I know. And didn't you ever have a teacher that you always wondered about, you know, and then you go, well, yeah, Mrs. Smurfy, you know, and they go, oh, yeah, she's from Uranus, you know. Whatever.
Yeah. So that should be big. I think it's coming out in the summer, but Men in Black 3 is in the works.
I thought they were, I understand why movies don't get critical acclaim. If it's just too much fun, excitement, all that. But here I saw this movie. I think it's this new one with Denzel Washington. What's it called? Safe House.
Mm-hmm.
Being billed as great as the Bourne movies. And I thought, now that's interesting that you're going to say to somebody it's as great as the Bourne movies, and yet those of us that love the Bourne movies were the only people that loved them. The critics could have cared less about the Bourne movies.
Well, a good action film is great, and, you know, they're making another Bourne film, but without Matt Damon.
That's not going to work.
Well, I forget what the next one is called. I think it's actually, you know, these days if you go online and you look for previews, oh, here's a movie coming out in November 2012. Oh, you're kidding. You know, it's only 10 months away. But the next Bourne movie does not have Matt Damon. We'll see how the franchise goes from there. I know.
That's like saying, we're going to eliminate this candy bar and come out with a Two Musketeers bar.
No, James Bond has been played by a bunch of different
people. James Bond has been played by a bunch of people. It's worked, I got to admit. You know, it's all right. Some didn't work as well as others.
I agree.
I assume this Means War. The person carrying the ball on this, of course, is Miss Reese Witherspoon, who's just Miss Cutesify.
Oh, she is cute.
Well,
we'll see. I mean,
we're going to get to one of yours is being reviewed. And again, you got a Ford Ticketer with Pina, and we'll get to that. And this is going to be fun to get to this with you, as a matter of fact. Boy, this is like all of a sudden a the pie coming back in someone's face. It's going to be kind of fun, but we'll get to that. It's a wonderful secret world. This is the secret world of, how do you say this name?
I think it's Arrietty, and that's kind of interesting, too. Walt Disney occasionally gets a hold of a Japanese animated film, which this film is.
I was going to say it looks very Japanese.
In the past, I will say I contact Walt Disney, and you know, I don't deal with too much Disney stuff because they're usually for the multiplex. But occasionally they will get one of these Japanese animated films. The last one was called Ponyo, really charming, wonderful film. It's almost as if the Disney studio doesn't quite know what to do with it. They kind of go, well, this isn't like in the mold of Beauty and the Beast or Little Mermaid or whatever. Happily, some of these come to me, and they go, well, yeah, you can have Ponyo, Jim, you know, and we do quite well with them. This one, I don't know, maybe they've felt that it has a lot of potential, but it is playing in all the multiplexes. So Disney is putting this in, giving it a little bit more of a commercial push.
Well, here's the thing. Remember I mentioned to you that I got little nieces all over the place, and they draw anime eyes. When they draw pictures of girls now, they do the anime-style eyes. And so maybe they feel that there's enough kids, you know, the young girls that age, they're probably, what, from 8 to 14, that'll say, okay, yeah, I'll go see this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing, but I'm thinking, if you had asked me, is there an audience for this stuff, you know?
There is.
Well, I know in the past, though, I would have said, I don't think there's much of one. But then when all of a sudden all the little girls are drawing funny anime people, you know, it's kind of like, okay, well, there must be something going on with that.
Well, I should say, Bill, that, you know, the Japanese animation runs an entire gamut to being G to, dare I say, X. They have some very provocative animation that you would see in a certain section at the video store, because video stores aren't with us anymore too much, but there's so much Japanese animation, but it runs the gamut of being for little kids and for adults. Kind of interesting.
Interesting. Also, yeah. I mentioned to you that I have a 10-year-old nephew, and he watches the Star Wars, the Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
This is the... As far, and I'm not exaggerating. You give me any other movie with Sylvester Stallone, I don't care who it is. It is the most violent thing I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it's a cartoon where, even in Star Wars itself, you know how sometimes you get shot at and they duck and they get away and that kind of stuff. Nobody gets away when they duck. You know, it's like, you know, you're either killed or you're not killed. That's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it just amazes me. It just it's amazes me the extent of the violence of this thing. But I think that, and I talked to Casey about it, and but he really seems to really have a distinction with, but it's just a cartoon. It's just, you know, that doesn't mean anything. Well, I hope.
Well, you know, maybe it needs to be up there with some of the video games that are out there that are absolutely brutal.
They have a thing. They have a PGV, you know, before it starts, PGV for violence, you know, but I thought it's kind of interesting. It's interesting they're doing that also on cartoons now on TV. Saying, okay, you've got to be careful watching this. Very interesting. The trends keep trending. We're going to come back with Jim. We're going to talk about exactly what's going on in the Palm Theater. We're going to talk about Jim's 3D movie at the Palm Theater.
Oh, it's in 2D. I didn't mean to pull the carpet out from under you.
You just did. I thought I was just going to get all over you because you're Mr. Non-3D.
I still am. I don't. To show, it's Pina, and it's a dance film. And it is available in 3D, but not in 35-millimeter film. It's just the way we're showing it.
Okay, fine.
So, So I wish we could show it in 3D, but...
I don't. I think you saved yourself and your integrity, and I'm glad to hear that before a commercial.
One of America's all-time favorites is back on stage. Paul Anka. March 1st at Shumash Casino Resort. Paul Anka. A show loaded with romance.
You share my love.
The man, the music, the consummate entertainer. Live in concert.
She's a lady.
Paul Anka.
Talking about my little lady.
Over 5 decades of classic favorites. March 1st at Shumash Casino Resort. Tickets are on sale now at Club Shumash, ShumashCasino.com, or call 1-800-585-3737. Paul Anka, live in concert.
Remember when you believed in the tooth fairy? You'd lose a tooth, get a nickel or a dime, maybe later a quarter, a buck, a Macy's gift certificate, whatever. Point is, don't you wish you could trade any of those for an actual tooth?
They get older and they go away faster than Santa, the Easter Bunny, and of course the Tooth Fairy, which turned out was Dad dressed in drag. Swiss Dental Center and Dr. Carol Phillips can help you believe in yourself with the confidence of new teeth. Dr. Phillips sympathizes with your fantasies but understands your realities. Opposing teeth. Without those, you're only gumming soft food. Imagine real implanted teeth that will really change your life. Your body tries to reject dentures, and all you can do is add more dental goo to try and hold them in place. It's a losing battle. Tooth implants replace the real thing naturally. Go to SwissDentalCenter.com and see how Dr. Carol Phillips can make an apple a day fun again. We may be getting older, but Swiss Dental Center can help us take a bite out of time.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat. The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
All right, get a treat right here. Jim and Bill, we're your treat. Hi, Jimmy. Welcome back.
Hey.
We're talking Palm Theater time, and we're going to talk about what's at the Palm Theater right now. So here's what we just found out, that Pina, who's a dance number, is in 2D. But we should tell people that this is what's happening with Jim. And Jim, because his life depends on it, I can bribe people to do the buttons and some of the stuff that I have to do, and not in this room, but in other rooms, because I can't figure it out. There's just too many of the buttons and everything. Mm-hmm. I'm the old tape and splice and all that kind of, I'm that person. Mm-hmm. So I can't do it. But Jim's going to have to learn how to do Digitalis Fujimungai for movies here.
Yeah, well, film is disappearing. I don't know how known that is, but the, shall we say, archaic way of showing movies, which is still, to me, the best way to do it, is film running through a projector, film running through a machine. Well, they've talked about digital projection. I mean, and people do also confuse digital filming. I mean, there's a lot of high-definition video. Film is sort of disappearing in the creation of films themselves, but we're talking about when it gets to the movie theater. It used to be on 5-6 reels, and it's 35-millimeter film, just like if you had a 35-millimeter camera. And those are disappearing. I think the numbers, this country has like 36,000 screens, and about 22,000 have already gone over to this digital projection. So first of all, making a lot less 35-millimeter prints, and the date I've heard is sometime in 2014. Film will no longer be used. It'll just be you get your film on a hard drive. And the projectors that can handle this stuff, including the 3D, are big old honking projectors that are very expensive. So, but I have to make the conversion. If I want to stay in business, I've got to come in with this essentially new format, which you got to get the right equipment to show this stuff.
Well, it's like, you know, as of now, Kodak, of course, doesn't make film anymore. Fuji's the only people I think left that actually make camera film, and then you still have to find somebody that will develop it.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's the way of the world. You know, I've talked about this before, and I said to people, don't do it to yourself. Don't get sucked into this, because it's going to change in such a short time that you're going to wish you hadn't done it. But they've got it so cheap now, and that's Blu-ray. And so I thought, how ridiculous to get involved in Blu-ray when the next obvious thing is going to be that you're going to get a movie on a memory card. Mm-hmm. And there'll be a slot in your TV, or there'll be if you don't have a slot or in a new TV, you'll be able to attach it to your old TV and put it on input and just put a memory card into a slot, and that'll be your movie. You know, you don't have to do all this crazy stuff you have to do now. And then, of course, as you also know, what else is happening is they're doing a lot more stuff where stuff goes to your computer than to your TV.
Yes.
You know, so there's all this stuff going on. And in the middle of this, they're introducing another disc-type format. And I'm thinking, come on, don't do this. Don't do this to us. But they did, you know, and so they're selling them and they're making money. But I would give that maybe another year, and then we'll see the new technology come out.
Yeah, well, Blu-rays look awfully good. I mean, if you have a Blu-ray player and a nice flat-screen TV, I think the movies look pretty darn good in Blu-ray.
Although, for those of us that used to... I had a television, an old guy from my brother-in-law, one of those old console TVs, you know, that was mostly orange all the time. It was like watching Pumpkin Time all the time. Anyway, so then when I got a flat-screen TV, you know, and it's HD, you know, I'm the happiest man in the whole wide world. I just can't believe what I'm looking at right there.
I know. And the fact that, you know, you don't have that big, that TV picture tube that always weighs a ton.
That's right.
Yeah.
The only thing is weird, though, about, and now what happens with this with a movie? They must have a different way they do this with movies. I've, on the set that I have, it's odd because you either, if you're going to, you have choices like 4:3 ratio or 16:9 or this kind of stuff, and wide zoom, wide this one. Because they're more rectangular, you never actually hit. If you wanted to fill up the whole screen, you never actually hit the size of the screen that you have. You're always either going to cut off some, or you're going to have to reduce it down to where you're not using the whole TV in order to get a square picture. It's basically still a square picture.
Yeah, it is. The older films have that sort of square ratio. It's called 1:33 ratio, where it's more of a square. Like if you watch Casablanca or something, it's much more of this square. In fact, interestingly, The Artist, which is the new film that's silent, they shot it in this sort of the ratio of older films. But there is sort of some cutoff when you take a film like that and you try to stretch it on this more rectangular screen. I think the closest to what the filmmaker intended is when you see a film that's in CinemaScope, and that's more of your it's more stretched. There's the bars on the top and bottom, which people don't like, but still you're looking at
a wider thing, but
yeah, you're getting everything in much.
That's interesting, but it's interesting that televisions do that too. And so this will be so are movies going to be done in CinemaScope all the time now if they go to digital?
No, I mean, there's a...
There's a whole other thing.
Well, there's essentially two formats now. It's called 1:85, which is like what you said, this more rectangular picture, and then scope, which widens it out a little bit, and then you have a bar in the top and bottom.
Gotcha.
But those are the two main formats. And then, of course, the older format is that square. That's 1:33.
What do they call it? Letterboxed?
Letterboxd. There you go.
That's what they call it.
Yes.
Letterboxd.
Right. That would be a scope film, pretty much.
And that's interesting, too, because, you know, a lot of things, they give you a choice if you want, you know, a regular one or a letterboxd job, you know, and it's interesting, you know. And so you sit there and say to yourself, I always thought that was like a snob appeal thing. I was like, well, I must have letterboxd because it has to be perfect, you know.
Well, it's funny when, you know, Bob Whiteford had his store, and people would definitely, I don't want the letterbox. I want my screen filled up. Well, you're not seeing the whole picture. You're not seeing the way the filmmaker intended.
And by the way, Casablanca was on this week, too. I just want you to know Casablanca was on this week.
Yeah, Turner Classic Movies doing their Oscar month.
You cannot not watch Casablanca. It's a crime against humanity of some kind.
I know. You can get caught up in that film every time. I do, too.
Why is that?
It's a good movie.
I don't care. Why? I feel like my kid's watching Star Wars 1, you know, my niece and nephew. I want to watch Star Wars 1. Yeah. And you've seen it 4,000 times. Now, this is interesting. I'm still not burnt out with Casablanca, but I eventually did burn out with Wizard of Oz. I can let Wizard of Oz go by now without saying, okay, I've got to watch this. But Casablanca, I still can't let it go by.
And if you're in the mood, you watch Casablanca and then pop in Woody Allen's Play It Again, Sam. And they just segue into each other perfectly.
All right, let's talk about the Palm, because good things are happening. So we have Pina. Now, tell us about this dance movie.
It's Pina.
Pina.
Pina Bausch is a choreographer of wonderful modern dance. And this is a film by German director Wim Wenders, who tries to capture this really wonderful and very, I'm not sure what word I could put it, modern, progressive. It's dance, but it's very expressive. It's really, really interesting. I mean, I'm just going on the trailer. I just put the film together. And Wim Wenders did film this in 3D, but again, we don't have that digital projector to show it in 3D. So it'll be 2D, but I can guarantee anyone who's interested in dance, you will really love this film. It's really inspiring.
But we go back again. So at some point down the road, will you be offered a film in 2 or 3D and choose yourself? Or will they just feed it to you and say, here's what you get?
With this new digital projector, I should have a capability of showing 3D. And in the event of... getting a film in 3D. Like, I mean, in my case, it wouldn't be like these big blockbusters or the Pixar animation in 3D. The two I can think of is this current one, Pina, and then last summer we showed the Werner Herzog film Cave of Forgotten Dreams, and he was in this ancient cave, and he did that one in 3D, but we did not have the ability to show it. Once I get this digital projector in, if it's in 3D, I will show it in 3D if that's what they intended it to be shown.
Okay. Well, you know, and we've talked about, you know, when 3D is just bogus and when 3D works, you know, kind of thing, so that's interesting. So,
yeah.
You know, that's fun. All right, and I would think that the people that make the kind of movies that the Palm shows would look at 3D as to have something to have integrity with, you know. But again, 3D is still something that isn't for everybody all the time. For instance, one of the most amazing stop animated movies ever made, as far as I'm concerned, next to King Kong, was Coraline.
Oh,
I mean, I cannot imagine the amount of work that went into that movie.
I know.
And that was released. So if you on one side of the disc, it's 3D, and they give you little glasses, you know, to wear. And then the other side is 2D. Well, I have to tell you, I honestly like it better in 2D than 3D.
I felt that way about Avatar because I saw Avatar in 3D in the movie theater, and I saw part, I guess on the computer or something, I saw it in 2D, and the images were so crisp and just jumping off the screen, but they weren't in 3D. And so the clarity of the non-3D picture, really, I was impressed with that.
I think what's going to happen is, you know, as more and more stuff is in 3D, and that's what you're going to be used to seeing, and more televisions are going to be 3D and whatever, that kind of thing, I think then that will become your brain's norm. And 2D will look flat to you. It'll look two-dimensional. It'll look kind of funny.
Well, you know, Roger Ebert wrote an article a few months ago just saying, you know, he hates 3D, and even though he'll say, go see Hugo in 3D or go see this or whatever in 3D. However, he made a great point in the fact that you go to the movie theater, and films are kind of 3D. You know, there's a depth. There's some. I mean, it's not popping off the screen, or there isn't snow inside the theater, like for a snow scene. However, he rather eloquently described the fact that films are, they have a depth. They have a 3D element, even though it's not the 3D that you see when you pop these glasses on with a 3D movie. So.
And I think what's really fun, I really get a kick out of, is when you see an old cartoon very well done, and it has the 2D effect, you know, it'd be 2D, you know, where you know where it has a background that moves at a different speed than the foreground and all that kind of stuff, and I always think those are the greatest things in the whole world when you're doing them.
Well, you know, you go back to the 1930s with the Fleischers, who created Popeye and Betty Boop and stuff. And you can apparently they animated Popeye and Betty Boop on between pieces of glass. They draw this stuff, but then they would build an absolute model of mountains or houses behind it, and they would actually shoot this thing. You know, here's the animation in glass with the cells and everything, but behind that is an actual model, and it gave this really wonderful depth of field and the 3D effect in those old Fleischer cartoons from the 30s to the 40s.
Very interesting. All right, we have also, I think everybody thinks this is a sure winner here for the Academy, but this is The Artist. And so here we have a silent film in 2012 that is everybody finds absolutely stupendous, which I think is actually stupendous. They do.
Oh, I'm very grateful. It's still doing great, and the Weinstein Company, that is the distributor of this, just seems to be very diligently having television ads, and it's winning all this acclaim. And you know, the Weinstein Company, they know how to you know, nurture films for the Oscars. They kind of have it down, and they've been very successful in past years. As if they get the Oscar nomination, boy, they really push it.
Now, Glenn Close and Albert Nobbs and ARPS even recommended this one.
Oh.
So it must be good. And even though ARP, I've mentioned ARP in the very front of the magazine, said the big, what did it say? Oh, the big 5-0, and someone was turning 60.
Yeah.
I said, well, it's old people that work at the magazine.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have. How's this been doing? How have the people seeing Glenn Close? Are they seeing this Albert Nobbs thing?
They are. The Oscar nomination for Glenn Close has helped quite a bit. Of course, she doesn't look anything like Glenn Close because she's playing a man in this one. It takes place in 19th century Ireland. And I was this film kind of a little bit under the radar in the fact that other than the Oscar nomination, but I've been very happy, and I thank our patrons for coming to see it. Actually, today is the beginning of the third week of Albert Nobbs, because the turnout has been quite good.
Wonderful. We will hopefully we'll have you in here during the round film festival time. I don't know if we'll have you in that Friday because it'll probably be busier than heck. But we can talk up to before the film festival about some of the movies that you know you're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
And Wendy and I haven't connected yet, you know. But if I may yet still have you know people coming in here to be interviewed for the movies and stuff. But the film festival's coming up, and it's the 8th through the 11th, if I'm not mistaken, right?
7th to the 11th. And,
I was darn close this time.
Dive in. Oh, it's March 7th. And,
March 7th.
Dive in. I mean, I'm sure it'll be a great 5 days of film here in San Luis Obispo.
And the guy who's going to win the King Vito Award, he is somebody called in who's an artist and knows all this stuff. He is the equivalent, basically the equivalent of, he's the George Lucas of New Zealand, is really what his, how people perceive him. And so I had a friend that met him, and he was hoping to get into some event that he could meet him again, you know, but he said he's a fascinating man, and he's done some fascinating work. And he's normally quite gun-shy about, you know, going out amongst them, but he's flying here from New Zealand to, you know, to be part of this ceremony, you know, the festival. And so that's really neat. But that's how it was best described to me, that he's very much like the George Lucas of New Zealand for what he's done for New Zealand films.
Yeah, and the major coup of getting Citizen Kane showed up at Hearst Castle, and Harrison Ford is going to be there.
I really like the idea of Citizen Kane being shown at Hearst Castle.
Yes, really Hearst is turning over in his grave, but they I think they dealt with that one.
Well, Rosebud, until next week.
Okay.
We will see you then, Jim.
Thanks, Bill.
That's all, folks.
Seriously, you say to yourself, okay, I've got about 5 minutes, and what do we want to talk about in 5 minutes? This is your Talking Sheep with Bill Benica and your friends and neighbors. And okay, thank you for joining me today. Well, I again, this is this this is this bittersweet thing with Jody Fisher from Cayucas, of her fulfilling her bucket list as she's terminally ill, and so she got to meet the president, which is always the greatest thing in the whole wide world, which is cool. And then she got to do something else. What was it? This was and I can't think of it right now. But anyway, she wanted to do two things kind of back to back. Anyway, and so, I mean, how amazingly lucky for her that Obama was campaigning, or raising money here in California, and that worked out so well. So that, I think that's just really neat. All right, other things going on. They say spring gas pain is early this year. I know what they're talking about. I've had those gas pains. I know. And I know what they mean. So they say we shouldn't see $5. Here's the good news. We shouldn't see $5 a gallon gas. The bad news is we should see $4.98 a gallon gas. So that's kind of a problem right there. That thing right there. Now, this is, I'm so surprised. I think the person who writes headlines for the Tribune is on vacation today. They must be off today or last night, because here they have wine notes on the local section. There's a new director of Vintners Group, Heather Moran. And so the headline is, New Director of Vintners Group Pours Over Goals, P-O-R-E-S. The perfect place to use P-O-U-R-S. God, I can't do everything, you know what I'm saying? I can't do it all for everybody. I'm working on it, though. I'm doing the best I can. Are you serious? Are you serious? You can't be serious. Stanford University has this idea that what they could do is they could put electromagnetic yahoos in the roadbed of the highways, and they would automatically charge electric cars as they drove. So as long as you ever were on a highway and you need some juice, you just get on a highway and you drive and you need to get the juice. We have people now that are running scared from smart meters. You know, how many people do you think are going to want to jump into a car and jump into an electromagnetic field on the freeway? I don't have a problem with it. I got to tell you the truth, I don't. You know, because whether you're listening to the radio or not, you're being bombarded with radio waves. If you're listening to the radio and not watching TV, you're bombarded with TV waves. You've got microwaves out there bouncing around. You got waves. I'm telling you, there's waves. There's just waves out there of all kinds. And so I. I think it's a, but they, you know, this gets into this fantasy of what are the roads in the future going to look like anyway? Because everybody has a different idea. However, that bringing that future, but back to the present, and roads and cars and things, they had an accident here that was in the news, and so they mentioned on the newscast, they said, you know, the police are checking, you know, they said there was no skid marks, and then they went on, the reporter went on. Well, cars in the last 10 years, they don't leave skid marks. They have automatic braking, and so they're made not to skid. So this thing that was so useful to police for so long and investigating accidents doesn't even exist anymore. And yet, somehow, people don't quite get the fact that, guess what, your car, it's in the last 10 years or so, your car will not make skid marks. You can whap that brake as hard as you want and will not skid. That's the whole idea of it. Because you actually have stop shorter if you don't skid the car. You stop in less time, which is why they came up with it, of course. Just so I mentioned that. Okay. A report outlines numerous foreclosure errors, like how do I hate you? Let me count the ways. Okay. I can understand. You know, these people that ride bicycles seriously, you know, for like serious people riding bicycles, a lot of times I understand this. They're on a highway. They're, you know, a place where they don't think they're going to encounter anybody, and they're kind of heads down. They're just trying to focus on making their legs pump and all that kind of stuff, especially if you're 73-year-olds in Cambria. Well, unfortunately, a cop had pulled a car over to give him a ticket, and the guy riding the bicycle neglected to look up and whacked into the back of the police car. So he was taken to the hospital. They say they don't say how he is, but I guess he's going to be okay, I guess. He went to Twin Cities. But you can see where you have to every now and then look up. And then they're all over this thing. I can't believe I brought this up, and now it's like the big issue. I'm like, God, I'm a genius. This thing with the car manufacturers, they're just getting all over them saying, we don't want you to have this crazy stuff on the dashboard that people have to look away from the road to mess with. So it's like, yeah, yeah. I'll tell you about. That's what I was talking about. All right. Aretha Franklin and Stevie Wonder are going to sing at the Whitney Houston's funeral. Aretha Franklin clarified something. She is not Whitney Houston's godmother. She doesn't know how that ever started, but she said she was not Whitney Houston's godmother. She was kind of like an aunt, a beloved aunt, but not really. All right, so we got that out. So we got Amanda Knox with a $4 million book deal, and they're trying to get her back. There's prosecutors and stuff are saying, we didn't do this right. We got to get her back. So I don't think so, because would we not recognize double jeopardy here in the United States before extraditing someone a second time? I believe we would.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Oh, yeah. Hey, it's supposed to be a very pretty weekend. A little chilly, but not bad at all. It's supposed to be a really nice weekend. Enjoy your very nice weekend. And you and I'll get together at 12 noon Monday right here on 1340 KYNS with Bill Benica. Until then, may our trails be happy ones and don't believe everything you hear here, because
this is Talk is Cheap. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benica.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds?